hello everyone. This is Crystal from the Spooky Barber Babes. Today in Murder in History, we're going to be talking about the Soham murders that occurred in Soham, Cambridge, England on August 4th of 2002. So sit back, relax, and let's get started. So this is a pretty detailed case. We have timestamps and everything that kind of lead up to the disappearances. So just to start off, this is about two young girls who went missing in Soham, Cambridge, in Cambridgeshire, England. The victims were Holly Marie Wells and Jessica Amy Chapman. Currently, to start off with their disappearance, it all started on Sunday, August 4th of 2002, around 11:45 a.m., with Jessica Chapman leaving her home in Brook Street to attend a barbecue at her friend Holly Wells' house. Holly Wells apparently lived very close. And, you know, her mother clearly didn't mind her walking there. But it does say that Jessica Chapman did inform her parents of a gift that she was going to give her friend Holly of a necklace with the letter H engraved on it. The two girls, you know, were at the house. They were playing with a friend named Natalie Parr. They played, you know, computer games, listened to music. Around like 3:15 in the afternoon, both girls had changed into replica Manchester United football shirts, one that belonged to Wells and the other one belonged to her older brother, Oliver. Around 5:04, the two had been photographed, by Wells's mother, you know, then they ate dinner, you know, with other house guests and stuff like that. And then, you know, they went back to playing up in the bedroom until around like 6:10. Around 6:15, the girls left the Wells house without informing anyone of the house guests. Because, you know, they were trying to go, you know, get some sweets from a local vending machine at a sports center, you know, just down the road. While they were trying to return, Wells and Chapman walked past college close home of Ian Huntley. He was a senior caretaker at the local secondary school. Huntley evidently lured the girls into his house, stating that his girlfriend Maxine Carr, the girls' teaching assistant from where they went to school to, was also at the house. It was then later discovered that Carr was not there. She was visiting her mother in Grimsby. And pretty much the rest is sadly history. From what they've gathered, he lured them in, claiming that, hey, you know, you're all teachers here. Huntley did claim in initial interviews, prior to his arrest, that he had been, you know, cleaning his dog at the time the girls walked by his house. It was like 6:30 at night, and that one of the girls had been suffering from a nosebleed. While there has been no actual evidence of a nosebleed, they haven't ruled out that that might have been a possibility. Sadly, at the end of it all, both girls were later ruled as to be killed by asphyxiation. Chapman's Nokia phone was actually switched off at 6:46, which was 16 minutes after Huntley had said that they had walked past their house and the girl had a nosebleed. It was around 8:00 in the evening when Nicola Wells, Holly's mother, entered the girls' bedroom to see if the girls wanted to say goodbye to the house guests, and had noticed that both of the children were missing. She and her husband searched the house in its entirety, the nearby streets. The way it's described is that Holly had a 8:30 p.m. like curfew, like had to be back by it. That is when Mrs. Wells had actually phoned the Chapman residence to see, you know, hey, had the girls, you know, did they come over to you? And then that's when they found out that no, the girls were not at the Chapman residence. After frantic efforts of both families trying to find their daughters, Wells and Chapman were reported missing by their parents at 9:55 p.m. Since they were both children, the police jumped immediately into an intense manhunt looking for these girls. It stated that over 400 officers were full-time looking for these girls. They went to house making inquiries. They searched local terrain with the assistance of hundreds of volunteers. And it was also stated that later United States Air Force personnel stationed at nearby air bases were also volunteering as well. The Cambridgeshire police released the photograph that Mrs. Wells had taken just hours prior to the girls' disappearance, stating what the girls were wearing, the physical description of both girls, describing them both as being white, approximately 4 foot 6 inches in height, and very slim. Chapman was described as being tanned with, you know, shoulder length brown hair, while Wells was described to be fair with blonde hair. The parents of the daughters were like adamant that their daughters would be wary of talking to strangers because, you know, they taught their children stranger danger in, you know, just like, you know, we're all taught stranger danger. Apparently, the head teacher of their primary school informed reporters the possible danger from strangers is something that they have pressed upon the children from early ages, so that there was no way these girls would, you know, just go up to somebody that they did not know. They had some reasons to believe that the girls had been kidnapped. So investigators obviously questioned every registered sex offender in Cambridgeshire and Lincolnshire, and about 260 registered sex offenders across the UK, including 15 high risks, were also questioned. Although all of them were eventually eliminated, police even, you know, investigated a possibility of the girls arranging to meet with a friend or, you know, had been in contact with somebody through chat rooms. Although, you know, nothing had been noted or stated to, you know, state that claim. That would have cut that up, but it wasn't true. The girls had also appeared on a CCTV footage, which was actually recorded minutes before their disappearance. But it wasn't shown to the public until August 8th. The footage did show that the children, you know, arrived at the local sports center around 6:28. They did a reconstruction of the children's last known, movements, and that was also broadcasted nationally on August 10th. Clearly both sets of parents were, you know, granted interviews and things along those lines. Other family members and stuff were, you know, just saying, please, you know, if you have these girls, please just bring them home safely. That's all I want. And, you know, hey, if there's any information, can you, you know, give us a hand? Apparently there was more than 2,000 calls and tips received from the public, all with information obtained, entered into the investigations database. And there was a candlelight vigil held by the community on August 7th. So now I kind of want to bring into Mr. Huntley. So he actually told police that he had a brief encounter with the girls before they went missing. He said he engaged in a brief conversation with both girls on his doorstep the previous afternoon. According to Huntley, Wells and Chapman had briefly inquired as to whether his partner, Carr, Had been successful in recent application for a full-time teaching assistant position at their school. When he apparently told them that, you know, she was unsuccessful, one of the girls said, you know, tell her we're so sorry, and that, you know, the two of them just walked off. Police were actually very suspicious of Huntley's accounts of their disappearance. His house was searched by a single police officer on August 5th. And then even though there was no incriminating evidence, the officer kind of noticed numerous items of clothing that were on the wash line that, you know, it had been raining. So why were they out there? And then there was also a reference to evident extensive cleaning of the house's interior. Huntley did state, you know, excuse the dining room, we had a flood. The officer was actually unconvinced by the claim and was kind of suspicious of his agitated demeanor, about, you know, why they were questioning, why they were asking so many questions, and why they wouldn't just, you know, take what he was saying as is, and that he became a very strong suspect. The very next day, on August 6th, Huntley had drove from Soham to Grimsby to pick up car, and they returned to the area a little later. According to Carr's mother, Marion Clift, she was standing really close to, like, the rear end of the vehicle when Huntley picked up her daughter. She said that there was a pale, shaken Huntley had simply gazed into the boot. That's known as the trunk for people that don't know UK terms. For several moments, while Carr stood alongside him, her head bowed, weeping, when Huntley became aware of Cliff's presence, he apparently had abruptly closed the boot. I'm not too sure if, like, it doesn't say, like, what she had seen. It doesn't explain, you know, did his girlfriend, like, see the girls and that's why she was upset? Like, did they both hide the bodies? It doesn't say if the girlfriend had any involvement in the cover-up. A lot of what I'm finding has just been, like, kind of all over the place. But it was just kind of one of those things. So around August 17th, both Huntley and Carr were arrested after discovering the children's clothing at a Salem Village College. And they both were arrested on suspicion of abduction and murder around 4:30 in the morning on August 17th. Sadly, even though police had stated that they strongly believed the girls had been abducted, they had publicly announced on August 17th their strong suspicions that both girls had been murdered. During initial questioning, Huntley refused to answer any questions, was very evasive, acted confused and emotionally detached, occasionally drooling, trying to feign symptoms of mental illness. Sadly, they had to refer Huntley to a mental hospital to undergo psychological evaluation, which they do in most cases when, you know, people are just kind of acting confused, crazy, erratic, things along those lines. So Maxine Carr quickly confessed to police officers and detectives that she had actually lied about her whereabouts and her partner's actions back on August 4th, shortly before she had returned to Soham. 3 days later, Huntley had called her on the phone and kind of claimed that he had seen the two girls shortly before their disappearance, admitting to her, you know, they've been in the house. Maxine Carr pretty much said Huntley had informed her of the children entering their home so that way Wells could, you know, take care of her nosebleed. He claimed that Chapman had sat on their bed while he was helping Wells, but that both girls left the home. He kept referencing one of the 1998 rapes he had been committed of, but had earlier kind of claimed that, you know, yeah, I'm falsely accused of this. He kept beginning to voice concerns as to, again, being falsely accused of involvement in this occasion as well, you know, claiming his previous arrest had caused him to suffer like a nervous breakdown. So basically she was like, yeah, I made up this false story with her, with him to like support his turn of events. And though, even though all this evidence, you know, the clothing, his fingerprints being found on the bin that the clothing had been, you know, found in, she wasn't having it. She was still emotionally attached to Huntley and was like, no, I believe he's innocent. I believe he's innocent. Da, 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 da. And sadly, that's where we come into the discovery of the bodies. So around 12:30 on August 17th, 48-year-old gamekeeper Keith Pryor discovered the bodies of both girls lying side by side in a 5 feet deep irrigation ditch close to a peasant pen near the perimeter fence of RAF Lakenheath in Suffolk. It was about 10 miles east of Soham. He noticed what he later described as an unpleasant and just unusual smell several days earlier. When returning to the area with two of his friends, he had decided to investigate this horrible smell while they were walking through some overgrown, you know, thickets and stuff about 600 yards from a road. Says Pryor and one of his companions, Adrian Lawrence, discovered the children's bodies. Immediately upon reviewing the corpses, Lawrence turned in the direction of his girlfriend, Helen Sawyer, and shouted, "Don't come any closer. Get back in the van." They reported the discoveries to the police immediately. Both girls had actually been missing for 13 days before their bodies were discovered. Both corpses were in an advanced state of decomposition, and you could tell there was like an effort to destroy any forensic evidence. Says the murderers had attempted to burn both bodies. No clear footprints were discovered at the crime scene either. But despite them trying to destroy evidence and hinder any verification, it was deduced exactly who most likely these victims were. And that both had not died at the location of their discovery. It says numerous hairs that were later determined to be discovered by Chapman were also discovered on a tree branch located, you know, close to where the girls' bodies were discovered. The next day, Keith Hodder, who is the Cambridgeshire Deputy Chief Constable, he released a press statement to the media confirming the discoveries, adding that both families had been informed of the developments, and although positive formal identification needed to be made, they were certain that the two bodies that they had found were indeed Wells and Chapman. The girls' bodies were actually identified by DNA testing on August 21st, conclusively saying, yes, this is them. Kind of going from there. There was a public memorial service held at Ely Cathedral to remember and kind of celebrate the girls' lives. So I'm going to kind of skip over a lot of the trial stuff because, I mean, there is a lot of it, but I am going to kind of just jump into like the convictions. It took jury deliberating for 4 days before reaching their verdicts against both Ian Huntley and Maxine Carr. On December 17, 2003, they returned with a majority verdict of guilty on two counts of murder against Huntley. He was subsequently sentenced to life imprisonment, with a minimum term of imprisonment to be imposed by Lord Chief Justice at a later date. Apparently, Huntley displayed no emotion, although the mothers of Wells and Chapman both had, you know, kind of lost it, you know. I would too if I had to deal with that. Says although Carr did plead guilty willingly to the charge of preventing the course of justice, she pled not guilty to the charge of the assisting an offender. The jury did accept Carr's insistence that she had only lied to the police and the media in order to protect him because of prior situations, and that, you know, she believed that his claims of innocence were true. So she was not found guilty of assisting an offender, and she was sentenced to serve a 3.5-year prison sentence for preventing the course of justice. So what I found in this was that there was a motive, and that Huntley's actual motive for killing the children had kind of been a little unknown. They were trying to say that, prior to, like, a few minutes prior to meeting the girls, he was engaged in a very heated argument with Carr. He was slamming telephones down. He had allegedly suspected Carr of pretty much having an affair on him throughout their whole entire relationship. And it kind of made his own mother and, you know, police officers think that, like, hey, Huntley had killed these two girls out of a fit of jealous rage. It's just, there is, like I said, there's no 100% like, oh, this is what it is. And he doesn't even state why he did it. But currently he is convicted. He is life imprisonment with a 40-year minimum term. There is really no announcement of, like, where he's been held at or anything like that. And truth be told, let him just stay there. He can rot his life out there. That is completely fine. and we can just let that one go. Finally, with Maxine Carr, she only had 42 months of imprisonment. She is released. I do not know if she's still, you know, teaching. I would assume probably not. It's sad that all of this happened, and it seems like it does take a little over a year for there truly to be sentencings and stuff like that in regards to, like, murders. And in this case, it sucks. I mean, two young girls who, I mean, young, we're talking, like, they were both born in 1991. So, like, they're a year younger than me. Like, they got ripped away from their lives at, like, 11 years old. Not even, if you truly think about it, not even. Jessica was born September 1st of 1991, and Holly was born October 4th of 1991. And they're assumed that they died on August 4th. And so neither one of them even made it to their 11th birthday. And I, like, that kills me even more. Because, like, they could have had a whole nother life. Like, what would their lives have turned out to? These parents had their daughters ripped from them for what reason? What was the point of it? We're in the wrong place, wrong time. I don't know. Stuff like this just kind of boils my blood. So that's it for this evening's episode. I say this evening, but, you know, you guys can be listening to it whenever. But what are your thoughts on it? Do you think that this was a crime of, you know, just jealous rage? Do you think it was a crime of wrong place, wrong time, wrong scenario? Or do you think there might have been something else to it? Truth be told, you always want there to be a reason. Like, some type of reason to blame it on, but 90% of the time there isn't a reason. I hope that that man literally in jail gets what he deserves. You know, I don't care who you are, there's never in any jail system anywhere. You know, everyone always tells you, oh, if you've hurt a child, murdered a child, raped a child, you're done. You know, so who knows what he's seeing on the inside. to the parents, I know it's been years, and I'm so truly sorry that y'all had to deal with that. I could not imagine in my lifetime ever having to deal with that, and I don't want to imagine it. And to the two girls who had tragically lost their lives, you know, rest easy, and at least your justice came a lot swifter than most. That's all for tonight, everyone. Don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram at The Spooky Barber Babes and on Facebook at The Spooky Barbers. Have a great day.